And we've spoken here about health issues following Hurricane Harvey, the toxins in the water flooding Houston's streets. Well, staying with healthcare, how did Houston's hospitals fare? At least 20 of them evacuated patients who then faced floodwaters. Now, nothing approached the horror of Katrina when patients died. You might remember Memorial Medical Center in New Orleans, which lost power and water. A doctor and two nurses were later arrested for hastening the deaths of patients with injections. One of the nurses said she had to help patients through the pain. A jury refused to indict her, and she later helped write laws giving immunity to hospital workers in disasters. So, what did hospitals learn from Katrina, from Superstorm Sandy? Dr. Eric Toner is a senior associate with the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security. Doctor, welcome.
Thank you.
And let's take Ben Taub Hospital in Houston. They decided to evacuate after they lost power. They couldn't because they were surrounded by a moat of water. They ended up calling a local radio station, asking if there was a vendor that could send them food. Citizens Medical Center in Victoria lost air conditioning. Their generators were flooded. We thought that after Katrina and Sandy, that hospitals were doing things like moving generators and food supplies higher. So as you looked at Harvey, what did you see?
I think in general, the hospitals in Harvey did a really good job. Mm. They had spent billions of dollars in hardening their facilities and doing things like moving generators up. But you have to remember that this was the most rain there has ever been.
Right.
You know, considering the amount of flooding, I think that 20-some healthcare facilities evacuating maybe 1,500 patients is a surprisingly low number.
Yeah. Texas Medical Center in Houston, they have 23 hospitals, and they had submarine doors that locked.
Right. Because of their experience with Allison, where their tunnels flooded, and it wiped out many of their laboratories and flooded many of their facilities. So they spent a lot of money putting these submarine doors, and their tunnels remained dry.
This was Allison in 2001, which the tunnels were where they were going to evacuate patients, and they couldn't.
Right.
Federal health officials can now analyze Medicare claims, and they provided Texas officials likely addresses of people who might be at home and who might have power-dependent ventilators or oxygen concentrators or electric wheelchairs.
Right.
That's new.
That is new, and that's a major advance because the majority of people with medical conditions are not in hospitals. They're at home or they're an outpatient. And we have not invested enough money by any means in preparing our cities and our communities for these patients. And when they lose their source of care, when they lose electricity for their home ventilator, they end up in hospitals that are really needed to take care of the people who are, you know, direct victims of the storm.
What about when to evacuate? Because, you know, there was a lot of criticism that people didn't evacuate sooner, but as Houston's mayor pointed out, to where? You don't know really where the trouble is going to be.
Right.
And for instance, you have someone who's with Citizens Hospitals there in Houston. They did transfer some patients before Harvey made landfall when there was a mandatory evacuation. But the roads were clogged. And so the patients got stuck on the roads. And everybody's thinking back to Rita in 2005.
Right.
The story of the charter bus.
So in 2005 in Houston, a nursing home evacuated. And the bus in which these poor elderly folks were traveling caught fire. And 20-something of them burned to death.
Because of the oxygen tanks in the bus.
Right.
Yeah. And the storm did not hit.
Right. There was
no
storm.
People thought it would.
Yeah. So the decision to evacuate is really tough. You know, it's always better to stay if you can. But if you're going to decide to evacuate, it's best to do it early than try and evacuate in the height of the storm, which is what happened in New York.
Right. And in New York, again, that was because it was the Langone, I believe, a medical center that also had its generators flooded and lost power.
Right.
They've since moved their generators to the roof.
Right.
Is that something, you know, that's recommended?
I think most hospitals at this point have moved the generators. The hard thing in New York and Bellevue and Langone is that they hadn't yet moved all their electrical connecting equipment. So the generators have been moved, but the connections were still in the basement.
Mm.
And that was part of a major renovation that had been planned for the following year.
What else can hospitals do? Do you know about these special sleds that some of these hospitals have? Talk about that.
So there are a number of vendors have these. They're sort of halfway between a sled and a stretcher.
Mm-hmm.
And we use them for bringing people downstairs because it's very hard to carry somebody. So you can put them on the sled, you strap them in, and it's a way to get very large patients or patients with lots of equipment
because
the elevators don't work.
Right. And we remember in Katrina.
Yes. The horrible stories from Memorial.
A very large man who they could not get him out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think probably most hospitals have these sleds now, at least a few of them.
Yeah.
Hospitals have been preparing. They're pretty well prepared. Now we have to deal with the rest of the health sector, dialysis centers, methadone clinics, mental health clinics.
Nursing homes.
Nursing homes. There's no federal money. It's hard to convince a CEO that it's good to invest in preparedness. If you have $1 million, is it better to spend it on a parking lot that will allow you to bring in more patients or to spend on preparedness that may never be needed?
Yeah. Well, when we're close to these storms, we think we know the answer.
Right.
And then we drift away. That's Dr. Eric Toner, Senior Associate with the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security, on how hospitals can handle these disasters. Dr. Toner, thanks so much.
Well, thank you, Robin.